Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, February 23rd, 2014, Ever Beyond, Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, everbeyond.info. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. And welcome to everybody. Today is going to be a present moment, what's going on right now kind of show. Because, you know, sometimes I don't get guests and... I ask people on and they say no and la da da da. You know, most of the time people say yeah, sure. But there are days when it's time to open the vector of another dimension, of another direction indeed. So I just went to the chat room and saw what people were talking about, and there was Tracy and there was Dolly and they were talking about things, and then that was exactly... you know, you hit on exactly what's going on. So let's without any further ado, let's introduce Dolly. Actually, I have no idea what your surname is, and maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. And indeed Tracy Kennedy, who we all know. In fact, we all know everybody who we all know. Shut up. I'll just shut up. Okay. Ow! Ow! Take that! And that. Oh, anyway.
You don't need to beat yourself up.
I know. I was just slapping my hand. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, it's a good sound effect, isn't it? I love sound effects. I used to do sound effects for stage plays and things like that. My favorite is the whip. You know, being able to combine that sound and that at the same time. You know, that's a whip. It's great when you... Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh.
Sound effects.
Yeah, how interesting. I'm getting interesting sound effects on my headphones as well. So that's going to go. All right. Damn it. Ah.
He doesn't need anyone there to beat him up. He does a good job himself.
Yes, just,
I noticed that.
Well, the transmitter's given up. And so I have no idea of what you guys are saying. I'm just going to turn you up on the speakers there a little bit. Turn this down. There's always some crisis. There's always some drama that is going on. Okay. Dolly, Trace, can you hear me?
Yes.
Lovely. Oh, wow. That was almost stereophonic. In unison. So, in unison, what are we talking about? Dolly... You made the opening statement, so I'll let you open with where you started with this.
Oh, okay. I can't remember what I had said, but I'm feeling I'm not me anymore. I don't know me anymore. I'm becoming somebody different, and I'm liking this somebody who's different, and yet at the same time I feel as though I'm leaving a lot of people behind. And at first I thought I might be feeling guilty about it, but now I even don't feel guilty about it, which is not who me used to be. If that explains how I'm not really like I used to be, I would have great guilt feelings. But I don't anymore. I feel, well, that's their choice if they want to keep up or not, or if they want to change their being or not. My thoughts are different. My reactions are different. I have this overwhelming peace about me. And everything that used to be me is the opposite now. And every day I learn something different.
Would you say that a lot of the you that is you just now is actually like the choice of you? You know, the you that you'd choose to be if you had the choice, that this would be the you that you'd be.
Yes.
So you are living now the life that you would love to live.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Excellent. So, welcome to stage one. I mean, this is where it begins, but it's, you know, this is like a fantastic place for anyone to get to. This is a wonderful opening into a completely new way of being, which is like from expressing, from having to suffer the world that comes to you, to expressing the world that you want to live in. Does that make sense? It's like, instead of being an inflow, you're an outflow. Instead of being a consumer, you're a producer.
Yeah, and like either Trem or Tracy had said, I feel people try to suck my energies more so than they did before.
Yeah, well, that's because you're now outflowing and everybody else is still inflowing. It's like, you know...
But I don't panic anymore.
No.
And feel, oh, I have to put up these walls of protection. I don't panic. I just say, you can't have it. And move on.
That's right. You divert your attention.
Like in the store today, I felt at least four people try to suck my energy. All I said was, no, you can't have it. And I moved on. With saying, God bless you, and moved on. Literally walked away. And I don't feel guilty. That just tickles me.
That's the good bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you know that there's no, you know, you've done nothing wrong. You have just experienced what it's like to discern and discriminate. You saw what it is, and you said, no, I don't want that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's discernment and discrimination. Thank you. Excellent. So, Tracy K, greetings and good evening, good afternoon. Hang on, is it?
90.
It's 17:05 in your end, isn't it? Yeah. No, 18. 6 o'clock, yes. Anyway, welcome. Good evening. How's things?
Thank you very much. And yes, Dudley and I were talking in the room, and, you know, when I typed that, it's like... it's not just people's neediness that I'm feeling anyway. It's that they're stuck in this place that I no longer want to be at. And, you know, normally when I've repeated myself 4 times and said no, if you do it again, my reaction would be pretty violent. Not physically anymore. But there would be not only a no, but it would be, you know, with cuss words. I'm not doing that. But when I hear people, they're trying to explain their paradigm or their shift or this thing that they've decided is their God, and that they need me to understand and say, yes, I understand, but I'm not there. Doesn't mean you can't believe it. Just means I won't, and I no longer will play in this kind of playground. It's not good for me. I don't like it. And they give me this, like, doe in a headlight look. And then ask it again in another way. Like, that's going to make a difference. So... I found that my ideas have changed. They're changing daily. You know, things that I thought were sure, I'm finding they're not. Change is happening faster. You know, Dolly and I had talked about briefly the thing that you and I have talked about for years, Jay, of this wave. When in 2012, when everyone said nothing happened, there wasn't just planetary alignments here. There were sun alignments, not just our sun, our soul, but many others, all the way towards the center of the galaxy. That means all of that energy came pouring in to our planet and basically seeded us. To be honest, I think that's where all of the stories come from, of this planet's seeding and genetic manipulation, and why there's so many different kinds of plants and animals and beings here. I think it's because those things happen. And when they do, you change, you change, or you do that amazing trick that human beings have, that when they've run out of options, they seem to burn up and die. It could be good because, you know, I think our ideas of death are completely wrong. But unfortunately, the things that people believe in their life seem to hold them back, and then hence reincarnation, where we come back and do the same thing over and over again if we don't let that stuff go, which is one of the reasons why I'm trying to develop those ideas and continue on. And if something's not serving me, I don't keep it anymore. I think that's why relationships are ending so quickly. People you've been friends for years, I've heard this today, that you just can't talk to them. Things that you used to just, you know, lick water off your back. Say it didn't really matter. Well, now it matters. If someone is going against your energy in a way that even that passive-aggressive thing that people have just seemed to really embrace. They don't want to yell at you. They want to pick at you for, like, ever. So I find that people are just getting short-tempered with that. Now, short-tempered, they're just not taking it anymore. And if something needs to end, you know, it'd be nice to raise everyone up without, you know, your energy and stuff dropping. But if we can't, we have to let it go. We can try our best, but, you know, it's not our job to fix everyone.
I agree.
That is a very, very interesting point you bring up just there. It's not your job to fix everyone. And the essence of discernment is knowing when it's your time to serve, or whether it's time for them to experience their lesson in its fullness without your interference. That's the whole idea of the prime directive, is to not interfere with somebody's evolution. And that goes on a personal scale as well as on a planetary scale, in my humble. And, Wolf Baby and I were having this conversation last night. You know, how much do you intrude in someone's life, and what rights do you have to do so? And how much would that serve them unless you backed off a bit and let them evolve? Let them have their lesson, no matter how bad. Don't try and protect them. Now, I know that this is good. That's sort of cats among the pigeons, I think, in this. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're sitting at a point where everything around us, planetary-wise, is exploding. Like, and quite literally, a lot of things are exploding. The weather is acting strange. There is mass deaths and violence. We look out into our solar system, and every single planet is reacting. People are about to do, I think, the global refresh of, you know, let's kill all the leaders that will help us. You know, I was listening to your replay in this show, which was awesome, by the way, that you did, and just earlier, I'm sorry, your guest's name was Katie. Yes, and it was a wonderful show, you know, talking about some of the things that's going on and the mind play of musicians. And, you know, I thought, because she mentioned Abraham, and I went, you know what, Abraham and Sarah, Brahma and Sarah Shiva, you know, why reinvent the wheel when we can just regurgitate the same thing? And that's what I'm seeing. Every single story, every myth, every violent action, every solar system upheaval seems like we're going through the exact same thing, a reincarnation of the exact same thing. We can't stop what's happening outside us. So we have to start looking inside and see what we need to do for ourselves. And that may sound incredibly selfish, but I believe that see, the cops are coming to get me because of that. I think we're in this stage where we really have to start doing that, because we're all part of this vast, great all. And if we don't start looking inside and fixing inside, there's nothing we can do about outside, and we certainly can't do something with another conscious being who refuses to change.
That's right. Go ahead, Dolly.
Along that line, that's where I have come to the conclusion that when I can see that people are being left behind in my life, I really have come to the conclusion it's up to them how far they want to go and at what speed they want to go, and if they want to go at all. And I have even backed away on my kids. You know, they'll say, well, Mom, this is going on, that's going on, and I used to give my opinion. I don't even give my opinion anymore. I feel that I've brought them as far as I could bring them in life years ago, and didn't even realize I needed to back away and let them continue at their speed. And I don't feel bad about doing that. I feel like I'm finally keeping my darn mouth shut and giving them the opportunity to grow. And that's the way I feel about everyone who now I feel like I'm leaving behind. But I'm excited in this going forward. I'm so excited. And I get excited seeing others who are making steps forward. The only way I can look at it or talk about it is think about it, Dolly. We're leaving ourselves behind, the old self. We're becoming something new and exciting. And you said, JP, you said there's stages, like welcome to the first stage. How many stages are there?
Good question. Well, you know, it's all about the evolution of a consciousness, individualized consciousness, and we find ourselves at this point of having just been at the point of an individualized consciousness, and then you evolve that into a unified consciousness that is individual within unity, and that's like the stage after that. So it sort of divides and then becomes part of the whole again, having experience being separate. And experience coming back to the wholeness, and because that's the whole job of what God's trying to do. And you know, but God, the being that we call the All That Is, the God, you know, that divided itself in order to experience itself. That's everybody's story. It's the same story, you know. We divide, we learn, we come back. And that's the story of evolution and the story of the universe and the story of what the expression of what we call God is. And it might be a hologram that has kind of gone viral within itself or something equally crazy. So what we do is we go up these levels of realization of things. And there are certain things that you recognize that also imply that you have an ability to recognize certain other patterns in the way the universe is structured, the way everything works. And the more you realize it, the greater your consciousness becomes, and you realize that you pop into this larger consciousness, this collective consciousness, which is not a hive mind. It's just like having Google on tap, but, you know, not in the bloody brain, oh, for God's sake. Yeah, anyway, kind of like that. Because there's, you know, there's TV shows about now, you know, that have got, like, people with Google in their brain, which is, you know, imagine what a boring person that would be. It would be like having Data walking around with you. Anyway, we get the ability to tap into telepathically all the rest of the group mind collective. So anybody who's ever done anything, you can say, you know, how do I do this? Or you get into it's basically about getting attitude. You know, being able to tune into an appropriate attitude. And that's what we call a level of mastery. So it's a bit like in The Matrix when she's saying, I need to fly this helicopter. And it just downloads to her brain. We can do that with what we call memes these days. A meme is a good word for it, but it's an item of consciousness. And so there's the kind of cyber imitation of it, and then there's the kind of organic version of it. And that's what the whole process of what is called initiation is about. And initiation is about going up these levels of consciousness, and it's really about levels of understanding, of awareness of how things work more and more. Does that make any sense? Yes, there are lots of there's what we call initiations, and yes, there are lots of them. And in the world that we experience, the vast majority of people are not on the path. There's a small group who are coming, a growing group who are definitely on the path, and then there's a kind of mixture between. And the first initiation is one with the where you sort out all your relationships. And once you've done that, you get a clarity about things. And that's what we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
It goes further. The next stage. And these stages can happen at the same time. And often they may have been gone through in past lives. And what happens is you meet somebody from another past life who recognizes you having that achievement, that level of awareness in that lifetime, you know? So you might meet your lama or something like that when you were in the Himalayas and studying up there, and you might meet your lama once again in this lifetime, you know, as a, you know, a beach bum or someone, you know, someone you might not think was your lama. But anyway, pizza delivery boy or something. And in that meeting, the energy is exchanged and you re-achieve that level of awareness. And that's what we call a recapitulation. And so you don't have to do all the hard work that you did in the previous lifetimes. You just have to achieve that level of frequency. And once you get that, you get a level of mastery over something, or, you know, a certain kind of energy. You have a mastery of it, and you achieve a level of awareness higher, and so it goes. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
Well, like this, Dolly, because I was thinking about the same thing. Everyone's changing. Whether or not they think they're on a path or are specifically studying anything, they are. We do things at different paces. Everyone does. Now, it's difficult because we don't all move at the same rate. Just like I was saying, there was all these planetary and sun alignments going on. Know that everything that around us rotates at different frequencies. They all wobble. It's hitting us from different directions. All of us carry all of our genetic DNA back to our source. And then there were two. Even in our brains, that echoes it. We have two sides, and a lot of people are saying, it's because we're split. No, it's because we're supposed to have both sides. The brain is the last thing that we have that shows us our source, shows us all the things we can be. When JP was saying, we may meet people who are a llama or something in a past life, realize that people here now are on different frequencies, energy levels, I guess would be easier. Everything is energy, vibration, and light. Everything can be put down to that. This is what we are. And we have all of the things in our body that kind of hold us back. Whether it's a want for something, a need for something, anything that's holding us down. And then other people have a tendency to latch on to that. For instance, Dolly, I know you work with people, and especially when someone's sick or getting to the point where they're close to death, most people reconcile with that. When they have problems, it's other people around them that are kind of dragging them and hold them back. Fortunately, I think those people, leave this world carrying a lot of the baggage from this one. And it's why some people remember reincarnations and others don't. We're dealing with all of these things and all the things that are going around us. Yes, they're physical. We can see them. We can hear them. We can read about them on the news. But it's also echoed in the spiritual world. These things that are going on are affecting us. They're going on in our bodies, our minds, our physical being. So, again, until we start looking in and dealing with our own selves, and allowing people to go at the pace they want to. And, I'm not saying this to put you down at all, Dolly. You are a sweet, loving, caring person, but I think you have a tendency to micromanage and worry, and then everything is your fault and your responsibility. How can you sleep at night? No wonder you had heart problems. That's a lot. That's a heavy weight for one person's heart,
You're absolutely right. That's what I was. And I don't do that anymore.
And it's nice, eh?
Yeah.
It's just like...
mm-hmm.
It must just feel like a weight off you.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that, you can go on holiday and everything stays the same. The world doesn't fall apart when you go away. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yeah, you're wonderful, Dolly. But I've seen you do this, worry yourself back into sickness. And not about things you're doing. That's a lot.
And what? You're breaking up for me.
Oh, I said I've seen you worry yourself back into feeling sick, and then, your diabetes starts going, and it's not because of things you're doing, it's because of what other people are doing, and you're worrying for them.
Oh, yes, yeah.
If worrying for somebody help them, it kind of does help them, because realize when you're doing that, they're used to you doing that, and that's kind of the pullback you're getting now. But wait a minute, you always used to do that. Yeah. And when you decided to take that step and say, no, I'm no longer giving my energy to that, you need to go through this path yourself. And that's their beginnings of growth, you doing that. But for the longest time, they're going to hold on to you and say, but you used to do this. And you know, as much as they complained about it, a lot of the times people need it. And it wasn't even your fault for giving it. It was needed, and they were taking that from you. And, you know, even going into the store today, like you said, now you're seeing it.
Yeah.
And saying no, and that's awesome.
Well, this seemed to be the theme of the week, really. This is kind of where we're getting to, really. Many people have been expressing the edge of them, their boundary. This is where it stops. This is what I can take. This is all I want. I don't want any more. You can take the rest of it home with you. Thank you. That's a great moment, because instead of bowing to pressure from outside, you're then exerting pressure from the inside out. And this is what we call initiative or initiatory impulse. You initiate things. You start changes by initiating, and you start initiating yourself and getting yourself going. These are the processes that are going on, and this is what the wave will do to us. And we will turn into silicon. We will turn into silicon-based beings. Because that's the way things are going to happen. Carbon becomes silicon on the next level up, next energetic level, doesn't it, Tracy?
It does. And know that everything that's out there, the methane gases on other planets, the things that they're saying are going on in other planets, all of our organs in our body represent all of those elements already. Our pineal gland is silicon-based. We have all of these elements. And, you know, like what JP was saying earlier, all we need to do, if we want to change something or learn something, if one other being has done it, we can learn from them. And that's all it takes. It takes our minds working in the right way, so we're not inundated by the other body thoughts, I guess, you know, that are trying to make us fall. You know, he had this realization, and, you know, I'm not really saying it's true. It's just true for me right at this moment. When I really looked at all the stories I've been telling everybody lately, realized, you know, these stories, the fall, the angel Michael, the being with wings, and the dragons and the serpents and the Satan, the bad guy. This is what's going on in our body. We can use our higher functions, or we can fall and be pulled down by the lower ones, by the needs and the wants. It's like raising a child. At first you have to tell them, no, you cannot have the 47th piece of chocolate. No, don't run in the street. No, don't put your hand on the hot stove. And as they grow older, you don't need to tell them anymore. They learn. And you realize that sometimes they are going to hurt themselves and bump themselves, but they're learning and you're learning. So, you know, they change, you change. And we need to do that. It's a heck of a growing up process we're on. And we have to realize that we are connected to absolutely everything. Everything there ever was, everything there ever will be. You know, when people talk about their soul groups, and I'm looking at it in a different way right now, and of course we are. The energies of all the planets, all the suns, all the cosmic energies, even the great serpent energy that goes through the sky, pretty much procreating wherever it touches, is seeding our galaxy. And we are, yes, all of these other things that are around. And sometimes we connect to one certain specific energy. I think it's important we look at what energy that is. just to understand ourselves, because all of the ancient stories where things became personified, you know, like Saturn, Satan, Jupiter, the rays that JP talks about, and I want to talk to you about that later. Don't let me forget, I had a question. All of these things are part of us. You know, like what Two Dog always says, it depends what wolf you feed. And I think it'd be better for us if we don't get stuck in a certain mindset anymore, because we've been stuck for too long and doing the exact same things and they never work. Or we wouldn't have to have the same freaking story told over and over and over again. How many times do we need Jesus Christ, Julius Caesar, the guy from the movie who just went to Mars? I forget his name, but it was cute and made me laugh. But even Abraham and Sarah, Brahma, Sarasiva, you know, we're regurgitating these things, and there are thousands of years in between. We've been told there were a couple different kinds of humanoids. Well, there were many different kinds of humanoids that walked upright. Many, 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 all over the world. We adapt, we change, and we gather new information from how the climate is, how the world is. I think our biggest problem is we've been trained to forget, because if we could have learned all of those things and embraced all of the things that are still alive and well in our bodies. You know, if we look at our body like a child that needs to be raised, yes, it has likes and dislikes. We could work together. But most of the time we don't. Most of the time our body leads us and our mind doesn't. All of these things are meant to work together. You know, even the planets are showing us this lesson. I hope we get there. I'm working on getting there myself this time, and I think because other beings have done that, I can do that. Just a matter of deciding we're going to. Am I rambling?
No, sorry, I'm just having a little panic. I've just lost the chat room. I don't know where it's gone. Hang on.
Which one?
Oh, there it is. No, I got it back. Oh, just as you finished that, I was like, oh my God, where's it gone? I'm using a different interface on the chat room these days because it changed the other week. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time too.
But anyway, as you were saying, there's so much that is... I have had a couple of these experiences, but I experienced something like what Dolly was talking about recently, about 3 years ago, and it was a really marked thing, is that I suddenly thought in the old way, and I realized, wow, I haven't thought in that old way for a long time. That's not how I think these days. And then I thought, well, which way do I like? You know, and I even having that conversation was like, oh, I'm standing outside of myself looking at and having a conversation about it. So I am more detached to it now. And then I was able to choose, you know, this is the one that I really want. Okay, right, let's behave this way then. And so, I really know that place. And it's part of what people call evolution, soul evolution, and what, when you're talking about the esoterics, called initiations, and they're recapitulated initiations because they've happened before. You've achieved a level of consciousness before. Everybody who's listening to this show has at least gone to a second degree initiation, I believe. Everybody who's listening to the show in past lives may not have achieved them now, but when you connect to your group, it's like when you plug in, you get your SIM card back, you know, your memory stick, and your address book, and you know, messages. They're all in there. And so you, it's not like having to hold your breath underwater and hang out underneath pyramids and things anymore. It's just recognizing, just knowing, recognizing and feeling it inside, getting to the feeling. Because it's about feelings of vibrations, and when you get to a particular level of understanding, you realize that everything is based on a feeling, which is a vibration, which is a frequency, which can be dialed in like any radio. And it's being able to be flexible to tune into those that denotes a certain level of mastery in this energetic area. Does that make sense? Am I talking bollocks?
So you say we already know this stuff and we're just relearning it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you may not actually remember learning it, but it becomes what they call second nature, doesn't it? You understand it.
We are remembering. We are putting our bodies and our pieces back together.
So that's why I don't feel like I'm learning it. It just is there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are just seeing, I already have. And I bet you it's missed you.
What missed me?
The things that you weren't paying attention that you already have.
Oh.
You have them. If you weren't using them, they have to miss you.
But you know, they keep coming around until you finally get them.
They do. They will do absolutely everything. You know, we've talked about it before. We have this idea in our heads, this thing that keeps coming up and coming up, and then it will manifest as a physical pain. Then it will manifest as an illness. Then it will manifest as something deeper until you listen.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a conversation.
Everything's a conversation. An idea, an idol, that's how it starts first. These things must be dealt with. And the majority of people I'm finding, even the ones who are getting these strange illnesses and dying very quickly or recovering very quickly, we are being forced to deal with our things right now. And, you know, as JP was saying in initiations, there are always some colored light or some planetary body, which you are now learning that aspect and this aspect and that aspect, and you go through different aspects of things. And we all learn this whether we're following a certain path or not. Or we refuse to remember and we stay separated, and then we come back and do this thing again. Why do I say that? Because we've had the same stories repeated in every culture all over the world, over and over and over again. They don't bother to change the names anymore. I guess, you know, once you've invented the wheel, there's no sense doing it again. Just roll the thing out when you need it. I'm sick of the wheel myself. I want off the wheel.
Yeah, me too. I used to say all the time, I want off this merry-go-round. Yeah. Now I understand what I was saying. I didn't understand then.
Well, you did. You felt it. Part of you knew what that meant because you said it. You knew what it was.
Yeah, but I stopped myself just short of really saying, oh, I know what I mean. And that happens lately, too.
Glimpses? Tell me.
There's different things that happen that have happened over and over. And it'll happen again, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, okay, I get you now. You don't need to come back. But it was something that every time it would come around, I would think... I would really think about it, and I'd say, there's something more to this, but I don't know what it is. And I wouldn't carry the thought any further. I stopped it right there. Rather than just relax and breathe and let it happen and realize, oh yes, that's what it is. Thank it and move on. A growth thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then there are more and more layers to. Well, I suppose it's during the programming of us, stuff gets lodged in different places, and
yes,
you got to start somewhere. And so there's stages, and so every cycle. And now we're getting these cycles, and they're like coming every few months, and then every few weeks. You know, soon it'll be every few days. I keep saying this, but it's happening, you know. I think we're in the middle of one now. People are ranting. People have been ranting and venting at me for the last 6 days. And I'm like, I wonder if there's an increased pressure going on here. It's a very intense. People are really intense and almost verging on the nearly violent kind of levels of intensity, and this is the pressure that's coming from the inside, because it's coming from the center of the galaxy. It's that inner galactic energy that's going on, and there's a galaxy inside us that is kind of going supernova.
Yes, there's a galaxy in us having a nuclear explosion, red hot anger.
I saw my sister do that.
Really?
Now that you say it.
She went galactic.
She did. When we were sitting there and she was telling me, just raving at me. And of course, I didn't listen to most of it. I just didn't care. But anyway, every once in a while, I'd catch a phrase and because she had asked me a couple times, and sometimes I'd respond and sometimes I wouldn't. But every one time I said something and she got so, she went ballistic. I mean, she exploded. She started over the top of Mom's bed to get to me physically. And I thought, wow, what the heck is with her? It didn't frighten me or anything. I thought, what the heck is with her? I hope it helped her. But I saw her go nuclear on me.
I've been seeing that too, you know, and all we can do is let them be who they are and make sure that we are who we are. If they're supposed to come back to you, then they will. If not, then not. You have to let people be how they are and just choose whether or not you can be around them. And if you can't, you need to not do that.
Great. That's what happened right then. I knew at that moment on, okay, we've got nothing future for us. I mean, she said what she needed to say, and I don't feel I need to express anything because it would fall on deaf ears, so why waste my breath, her time? That's one of those things where I feel I'm leaving somebody behind, but that's okay.
Do you find that it's when you don't react, if you've always done that, and usually I do, my buttons can be pushed. But when I don't react now, I'm really seeing
that.
They're like, why are you not reacting? I'm used to you reacting. It's like they fed off that and I never noticed it.
Yeah.
And now I'm just not. I'm just not doing it. Yeah.
There's what?
Dolly, one at a time, please. Dolly?
Yes? I can't hear Tracy.
Yeah, sorry, I think Tracy's, we're probably going to lose her in a second, but she'll be back in a minute. But you were both talking at the same time, so do you want to just reiterate that and then we'll come back to Trace?
Forgot what I said.
Tracy, are you there?
That's story of me.
Yes, I'm here.
Who's focused here?
We were talking about people that were used to you reacting in a certain way are, you know, upset when you don't. But realize even what you felt today. So many things have been feeding on us. And me personally, I didn't notice how many things were. No wonder I felt so weak and sick. So many things were feeding on me. We've talked about that in an esoteric way, you know, if there's demons, if there's monsters, if there's elementals. But, you know, it's a pretty simple thing. When you get rid of one and you feel better, you know immediately that it's worked. You actually feel better. I feel stronger.
Yes.
By not letting
that's
these
the way
things
I felt
that
when I walked out of that room.
Yeah, that's right. You empowered
Sorry,
yourself.
I talked over you.
That's okay. No, it was fine. That's literally empowering yourself. The power of no. The power of like, no, I don't want this. I'll see you later. I don't agree to this environment. I'll step out of it. You can carry on. Fine. But I'm away. And that's choice. And these are the ways we create the future for ourselves. Our future, not their future. It is the end of their world. No, it sounds. Yeah, this is the beginning of our world. Thank you very much.
Right. I knew what you meant.
So, yeah. So everybody's got stuff, and everybody's got demons that are kind of hanging on to them. A lot of them are because of, you know, abuse. They hurt your, you know, when somebody shouts at you even, it hurts that protective layer that you have. And so unless it's allowed to heal itself, it forms a tear, and I suppose it's very much like the tear in the space-time continuum. It allows stuff in, and that stuff can be in the form of memes, ideas, old wives' tales, more insidious programming, you know, deliberate programming, conscious programming, mass mind control, hypnotic programming, mass memes, all that stuff. And we are susceptible to that until we can learn to heal those parts. But the first thing you have to do, in the, you know, you heal the wound, you have to get the dirt out. You have to, you know, get these energy entities out. And they can often be... yeah, I don't know how we're able to do it. I don't know exactly what is the process, but our bodies can naturally pull these things out of each other. It's a bit like monkeys picking out nits. You know, you see monkeys and they're just what they call grooming each other. They're pulling things out. I think that humans can do it for other people and process them and render them back to energy. And that's the way we can be an energy transformer. That we can somehow. Here's one way of a way of looking at healing. The process of healing is that we draw in the demon to our own bodies, and using our power of consciousness, defeat the demon in our domain, and then feed back the energy back to the client, patient, whatever. What do you think of that concept, my friends?
Well, that's a good way to look at it. I hadn't looked at it like that before, but it feels right. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, when you've done it, you know.
So
yeah.
do you feel that you've experienced this? Like you feel somebody's energy go through your body and come back out and go back to them?
Yeah. My sisters. So that issue is done in my life.
So what did it feel like to you? What did the process feel like to you?
Oh, the whole process or just the end?
Well, the catharsis moment.
I was very happy that she had expressed herself in the way she did. It helped to open that memory, that my mind, and I was relieved that I had finally gotten through that stage, that dimension of my life. Because it took that was a big thing. Big thing. And that's what was holding me back from being new me. So it was a relief. I mean, I had tears in my eyes by the time I got to the car just from, thank you, God. So now I'm ready to tackle the rest of them.
One at a time.
I know.
One bite at a time.
I get excited sometimes. At least now I can hold myself. Well, I don't even need to hold myself back. I just say, well, now don't go crazy.
It actually does work, you know.
And it just makes me laugh at me.
Because you're not taking yourself seriously anymore.
Right.
Because you can tell when, you know, when your ego's cutting in, because you, well, one, when one knows, I'm not accusing anybody, but one knows when one's ego has cut in that, you know, you become emotionally attached to something, in a frenzied way sometimes. But anyway, so we find ourselves then looking at life with a changed perspective, what you might call a higher perspective, of, or people say on a higher frequency, or simply like being able to be on a hill overlooking a town, and then suddenly you see the way the town is structured, and see the, you know, buildings and things in certain lines and things. You get an idea of the overview, of the geometry of things. And there are ways of looking at energy and spirit in exactly the same way. And our personal lives then become the metaphor for our learning. So even the simple interactions that we may have, as you say, at the grocery store, will be lessons in esoteric energy exchanges and all sorts of other delightful little times that you can have. But I have to say, I don't like crowds anymore, myself, either.
Trem was saying that, and I don't like them anymore either. Not that I don't like them.
In fact, Trem is saying, I hate general public.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want to be among them. It's not that I hate them. I just don't want to be in that group, in their presence.
It's their smell. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, people seem to be, is it me, or do people smell stronger, or is it because I've given up eating meat and therefore my sense of smell has kind of changed, and maybe giving up eating wheat has changed as well. It's interesting, but I can smell people really strongly. Oh, yes, I recognize that person. Interesting.
I don't know if I can smell them particularly, but I can feel their neediness.
Yeah, I'm with Tracy on that.
They want. They need. I listened to someone talk for an hour about how no one listens to him. And, you know, I had just been listening for an hour. And no one listens to him or respects what he's saying. And then he immediately said something that I have said repeatedly. Don't do that. So I'm thinking to myself at that moment, he just said, you know, no one listens to him, does what he wants. Then he did something that he knows I don't like. So he wants something from me at this point. Normally the reaction he would get would be anger. Said, okay, you know what, I gotta go. And just ended it there. Saying again all the reasons why I don't like that kind of conversation, I don't like this happening, I don't like this, you know, saying it again and him saying he's sorry and him feeling relieved and me feeling this weight on me, heaviness again. This time I said nothing, like, okay, bye. That's it.
Yep.
And did you leave that weight off of you?
Yeah. I left with it off me because I didn't react to it. I saw it. I thought about what will happen. And I just said, no. That's enough.
Yeah. How'd that make you feel?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. It did. And I realized how many people were using me for those kind of reactions from me. So, you know, with when I was losing my temper, they were gaining something. I was feeding the beast in their body that responded to the beast in mine. No thanks.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting insight, Tracy, isn't it? Seeing how the energy that you're putting out comes back at you, thinking that it was them that were initiating the thing. Weird.
And it was both of us. It always is. There's always two parts of a tango. Even, you know, when you hear people who constantly, you know, it sounds like they're being abused. And I'm not talking about physical abuse, but, you know, people are always using them, taking from them, or stepping over bounds. Realize there's part of them saying, I need that. And part of the other person recognizing it. Your beasts are talking to each other. One is allowing that to happen. Because when you stop allowing it, it suddenly stops.
Yep.
And you start feeling stronger.
Yeah. They aren't getting your energies.
They're not getting it. And I think after the first time, it starts becoming easier. And when you don't react in a way that you've always done and don't have to go through the steps in your mind, you realize it's over. It's finally over. That little monster is dead.
Yeah.
Or at least subdued, so it's not running you. You know, I'm still thinking that all of these stories of demons and angels are aspects of ourselves. We can never quite kill it, but we need to control these things. We need to control it and not let them rule us. And I think all of the battles that we've heard of in the heavens and in the galaxy are all fought here in our physical bodies, each single one of us has to fight those battles. We can decide whether we're Michael or the devil, just making up names. The bird, the angel, the snake, the serpent. You can decide which one you want to be, which aspect of the demon you want, what aspect of the angel you want. We can make these choices for ourselves, but it's a battle we wage inside ourselves, each and every one of us.
And you can be the phoenix, too.
You can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can rise up from the ashes. That's you right. Know, I don't know how many times I've freaking done it.
Thought same it was here.
And it's not. It's still here.
Yeah.
Which in this day and age is pretty darn good. because people are dropping like flies all around us. And going, some are getting like really serious crazy. Like really off the deep end. And enjoying it. Like they're just wallowing in it.
Yeah, I agree. That makes me think their vibes are way off to start with, and they can't seem to get them in line.
Oh, yeah.
And so they just kind of blow up.
It's kind of like a ricochet thing. You know, like how we were talking about health. It'll start, you know, with a little ache, a little pain. It suddenly gets worse, and then other things start shutting down. It becomes a whole, we could look at it like our chakra levels, you know. It's like one shutdown starts a chain reaction of another shutdown, and that box to a third shutdown, and then, you know, all the things that happen physically on our outside or just our actual body are really going on and doing battle. And things have a tendency to get worse. You know that saying, things get worse before they get better? It's because we let things go way too far.
Mm-hmm.
And they get worse until you will stop and start paying, giving attention to what it is you were supposed to be paying attention to in the beginning.
Yes, well, that's because we've been, number one, divided, and number two, distracted. And so what distracts us is our drama and victimness, and what we need to focus on is the part of us that was traumatized, reassemble ourselves, and then deprogram ourselves from the effects of that, and then we'll all be better and everybody will be happy. That should bring us to the sorry, Trace. That's bringing us to the end of the first hour, and I want to play a special tune, which was just freshly uploaded this afternoon. This features a friend of mine who's a singer. Her name's Amma. And this is Rowan Weil featuring Amma, My Shadow Steps. It's a really cool tune. Just enjoy this.
Shadows. This is Ever Beyond with JP.
So it is Ever Beyond with JP. And yeah, that was, I love that track. It's just, it's kind of like, something soft and sweet, like sort of candy floss or fudge. Or it's just like got cinnamon in it or something, you know. I don't know what it is. It's like really Moorish. Lovely. That's Rowan Wild featuring Arma, My Shadow Steps. Just come out today. I'll find it and drop it into the chat room in a little while if anybody's interested in that from friends of mine. Anyway, welcome back. Hello, Dolly, Tracy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jay.
Hello. So, here we are, feeling like our new selves, you know, like we've been talking, like from Rebecca's thing, you know, the new normal. We're experiencing our own personal new normal. What do you think?
I agree.
Yep.
They're talking about light bulbs.
What about them?
In the chat room, they're talking about light bulbs. I recommend LEDs. They're the best, and then you can change the colors. You can set different colors. You have a whole house that you can set whatever color you like in the room. Wouldn't that be cool? You can do that now, and cheaply.
Yes.
You are such a romantic, JP.
What's that?
I love it.
Oh, you haven't seen my house. I mean, right now
you're so sweet, though. It's not just your the lighting. It's that
I'm not that
you
sweet.
Love that song and you like the different lighting, and it's just you're such a romantic. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Don't no.
Yes, I'm not saying you're sissy.
No, it's just that no, I'm not exactly romantic all the time. And but well, yeah, it's all right. Thank you.
You touched a nerve.
It's like a tickle. It's like you just tickle me because it's like I'm not that romantic, you know. I'm really not.
I didn't mean it in a sexual way.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, well,
I do
whatever.
Now that I know it bothers him, I think I may have to say that every time I'm on the show.
Oh, Tracy K.
And I think I'll have to sing it every time, too.
Oh, we're JP. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to have to play Ramantha on the guitar. You know. Well... Yeah, so, yeah, light bulbs, from light bulbs to romance. Where did that come in? Oh, yeah, different colored light bulbs. No, it's a thing that I've always wanted to have is rooms with controllable ambient color. I mean, it's been like this is what the future is. As far as I'm concerned, when in the future you can control the color of the room by, you know, a remote controller, that's then you're in the future, right? That's the future. And we're
you know,
here.
I have that on both of my computer screens.
What's that?
Where the lighting fades for the time of day and changes color shade.
Oh, that's nice.
It is like the best thing ever. I'm looking up the name for it because it's a free application. And for people who are on computer a lot, it really saves your eyes, especially if you're on late, you know, at night, especially really late. That bright glare is really bad for you. So,
if you find that link, would you put it in the chat room for
I
us?
I sure will. Oh, thanks. Everyone, it's called F.LUX.
F.LUX. I'll write that down.
And it's wonderful. And you can disable if you need it brighter for light sensitive work. But really nice. And free.
It's good. So It's good to be able to vary the color. Indian music, for instance, is different at different times of day. They have different ragas for the morning and different ragas for the evening. And, you know, they play in different keys and different scales according to the time of day. Which I think is a very interesting... It's like fitting yourself to the environment thing, isn't it?
Yes, I wish my lights in the house did that, too.
I did.
Although, I just put on candles.
Yeah, oh, I do that, or light bulbs, different colored light bulbs you can do.
Yeah, but it would be nice if they changed and dimmed.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It would be.
We're all for it.
Well, you know, Frank is talking about using these lights with crystals. I've got one in my kitchen. I just have it sitting behind a great big crystal with fluorite thing to just spread the light. But it sweeps through the spectrum. It's really bright. It sweeps through the spectrum all the time. So it continually keeps the kitchen clear on the subtle levels and on the physical levels. Keeps it... so it's a kind of like a sonic sweep.
Or a, you know what I'd like? I really like one of those... salt lamps.
Oh, yeah.
Salt lamp?
Yeah, with the Himalayan salt.
I hadn't heard of that.
A candle inside? Or you can put an LED inside?
Well, that's what Wolf Baby bought my mom for Christmas. It's a salt rock with a rainbow generator inside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tell her if you're not romantic enough. I'm coming over. I want a link to that because I want one of those.
All right. I think it was on eBay. I don't know. So you got it from the local pretty things shop. We've got this lovely shop in town. It's called Babaloo, and everybody loves it. It's the love shop. You know, you go in there and they got all the incense and all the hippie stuff. You know, the crystals and the throws and the scarves and the little African carved things and little drums and things for children and greetings cards and things and incense all kinds and smellies and yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, just the Himalayan salt when it's warmed, because I usually do that in my, with a tea light, changes the atmosphere in the room, so. Yeah, I'd like one for every room. Those are... The energy in those just frees you.
Would that work like sage does to clear the room?
Well, you know, the minerals, mm-hmm. because Himalayan salt has minerals that we don't have in abundance anymore. So when you warm them, you're breathing them in, and... They actually enter your skin, too. So you're getting your minerals from that. It, you know, helps all the animals and stuff. It clears the air without the smoke of a sage. It's beautiful stuff. Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
As you say that, I've just lit two kinds of incense, Himalayan and Nag Champa. So,
very nice.
Yes.
Now tell me you're not romantic.
This is for me. The other day I said, "Oh, I love me," and I said, "Oh, I love me too."
That's right.
You too, a person. So you have random romanticness.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a constant on tap thing. It just kind of comes out when it's right.
You feel like it. You like the atmosphere nice around you. That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
See.
Just don't take it personally, that's all.
Don't take it personally.
I realised, because the other day I had a friend over, bloke, right? A you know, real kind of bloke's bloke kind of thing. And he's having his problems. But, you know, I had to stop myself because he arrived and I'd been, you know, and I arranged things on the thing. I lit the stove and then I was just about to light some candles. And I thought, oh, my God, look what I'm doing. No, he's going to take this personally. You know, but that's what I would have done anyway. You know, lit a candle and put it over there, have a little light over there.
Just because you like that, it doesn't mean...
Yeah, yeah. But people often take my politeness as flirtation, you know.
Well, you're just saying that's what he would do. Yeah. You don't know that's what he would do.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
He might have appreciated it.
Might have liked that.
That's right. Might have reached up and grabbed me. I don't know.
Oh, JP.
Awkward moment, you know.
I don't think he'd have grabbed you and started dancing in the kitchen.
Not if he's a man's man. Well, I didn't mean... Well, you know what I mean. A manly man.
I don't know. You could have done it and said in a deep voice, you want a beer or something. Whatever guys say. Scratch your
balls. Yeah, and scratch your balls. And,
yeah,
you know.
Do like a real man thing after.
Maybe right.
That will make you feel better. I can't believe this.
No, I actually said, you know, yeah, come and have a cup of tea and tell me all about it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I do, anyway. Yeah, all sorts of people come over and it's like, oh, let's have a cup of tea and tell me all about it. But it's good. I mean, because this is everybody's going through the same transformation. And somehow I'm able to recognize what stage they're at and what energies they need, which is sometimes, you know, it's not the same. You know, you can't use the same pill for the same condition, for the different conditions. You have to use appropriate.
Everyone is a little different, and I'm feeling that too. I'm more empathetic with people. I always have been, but I realize I've blocked that a lot myself because people have a tendency to become too needy, and I didn't stop it in time. So, you know, I was about to blame it on them. It wasn't their fault. So I have to allow myself to be who I am. And I can feel other people's energies and usually what they need. If I can give that, I do my best. And, you know, you always have to put up. And that's the end of it. This is as far as it'll go. You know, it doesn't mean call me 3 in the morning all pissed up and tell me you're having a hard time. But, you know, well, some people do that and it's okay. It's just a matter of knowing what you can take, how much energy you have at a time, for other people to understand that you're not always going to have the same amount of energy in every situation. Most people don't give and take that much, or they just take and take and take and they give you nothing back. Those kind of people need time on their own to learn. And I'm learning that too.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
It doesn't mean, you know, never going to speak to people again. Just, you know, realize some people need time, and I can't force anyone to do something the way I want them to or learn things quicker. People learn as their own pace says.
Well, you can be there for them, but yeah. You don't have to be
for them.
Yeah. You can listen and until you've had more, you know, until you've had as much as you can take at that time, and you politely tell them, I'm sorry, but that's all the input I can take on this subject right now, or some such things like that. Stop them.
Boundaries. You know, there's very few boundaries anymore, and majority of humanity, it's like raising a child because we've been so traumatized and lied to and poisoned and, you know, everything that can be done to make us need these lower things has been done. So I understand how everybody's struggling in one way or another right now with things, and struggling by sometimes just looking at our little stuff, our own little stuff. And I understand that, you know. It hurts because I found a lot of people have gone out of my life lately. But, you know, I'm realizing it's a good thing. Everyone needs space, you know. People don't give each other enough space. They have a tendency to cling and get so needy.
Well, as the Buddha said to me, give yourself a break. Give everybody a break.
Yeah.
I pulled back from my son, and he's so used to me being 110% there for him, but I'll say to him, well, Russell, I hear your words, but they're not going in. And to him, that he understands that means mom's checked out. Need to call her back another time.
Yep.
But I do it for me, and I do it for him. And I understand that now. It's an okay thing to do. It's a good thing to do for him.
Yes. And it's a good thing to do for you.
Yep.
So it's good all around.
Yep.
It's all good.
That's what I meant. It was a good thing for me to do. It's good for him in the end, but it was a good thing for me to do too.
Yep.
But the main thing is that it wasn't the thing that you were expected to do.
Right. That's what I was trying to make the point of.
Don't know what that tune was. It just kind of came out. Right.
That's that romantic part in. And I'm coming in. I couldn't help myself, JP.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. Can you tell me about the third soul ray?
Would you say that again? The third soul ray? Do you mean the third ray souls?
Yeah.
Not much in incarnation at the moment. Perhaps more. Yeah, perhaps more in the China, in the East.
I'll tell you who you're reading in a moment. So give me anything you feel.
All right, because I haven't come across many third ray souls in my readings, but that's probably because they're not interested in being read, you know, that sort of thing. You get the kind of picture.
Maybe.
I've had second ray souls, fourth ray souls, sixth ray souls, and seventh ray souls, and fifth ray souls, but no one or threes. Interesting, that, isn't it?
Well, what are their energies usually like?
Busy, busy, wizzy, wizzy. Busy mind. They're the sort of the worst kind are the they're like a kind of people in PR. You know, they've got like a business attitude towards beauty. 3 to 4. So third ray soul and fourth. So they would be like a business person, and they would be using beauty to manipulate people.
Interesting. Yeah,
so like the fashion industry.
So they're superficial?
Oh, pretty much. Because their mind is not on love. They're not. Their souls is. Well, it depends. It may be, but they're, it's just, it's not directed. The way that they would express their love would not be directed in a perhaps a loving fashion. Let's put it that way.
Do you think that
it'd be very businesslike? Like, you know, it would be like Japanese. I'm sorry, sorry, Trace.
Sorry. Is it because they can't? They don't have it in themselves to express it, or they're not allowed to. Something stops them from expressing it.
Yeah, it's more of a, that's the focus. You know, in the same way that you may be focused towards it, they may be focused elsewhere. There are plenty of places you can be focused, aren't there? And, you know, some people are very dedicated to what they do. You know, so you never know.
So a focused mindset towards words.
Yeah. And it would be in towards like a business, trading, conveying. So they'd be like, for instance, you know, busy people, you know, the business world, the world of transportation and logistics, the world of communications and computer networks, Cisco. So, for instance, a 3-4 would be portrayed as a sinister beauty. Somebody who would be manipulative behind her beauty. You know, for instance, Marilyn Monroe didn't have that kind of manipulation kind of energy. She had a much more loving energy. Gorgeousness. She had gorgeousness. You know, there are others who are less, you know, they can be beautiful, but they're dangerous. Yeah. I was thinking like, maybe Jeri Ryan in Dark Skies when she played the Russian, spy. Mm. Wow. Before she was 7 of 9, she was, this Russian spy. Awesome.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes, So, do you like to know who I was thinking of?
Who was you thinking of?
Third ray from the sun. Terra.
Oh, the planet itself. Herself.
Planet itself.
Well, let's see. What's, okay. I've never done this, actually. Let me see. Am I?
Actually, everything you said is very interesting. When you think of all the energies that are bombarding her right now, and what does she have to give anymore?
I see what you mean. The soul of the earth, the monad of the earth, the central soul of the earth is ray one, and that's the monad. And the soul is ray 2, and the personality is ray 3, which is the human race. In the Great Invocation, it says, from the center, which we call the race of mankind. And that's the third ray center, which is the consciousness of the planet, which is us. How cool is that?
Interesting.
So, yes. Humanity is 1, 2, 3, or the Earth and humanity is a united consciousness. So, come on in, folks. The water's lovely.
Yes, it is. It used to be.
Not down here.
Mm. That's why I said used to be.
Yeah.
So, all of the things that happen to you happen in a way that show you which is what is the thing that you really, really want. Do you want this or do you want that? And it often, sometimes it really hits the spot and it becomes very clear that there are areas that you have not made any decision on and that these are the things that you need to make a choice about. And it seems that this week, these things have come up. They've really come, you know, been coming up in people's faces. What do you want? Do you really want this? this is, do you really want this? Honestly? Really? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beatrix is totally lost. All right. All right, so hang on. What's
didn't realize I was talking about our little planet.
All right. Okay. So, yeah. So, our planet, in terms of the being that as our planet, has a third-ray personality, which is why the avatar and all these people have the 1-2-3 thing. So, because we all become that. It's like that's how you become who, you know, it's the ideal carriage for the soul who is the one.
Yeah. The soul, S-O-L, is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's third from that. It's weird. I woke up wanting to ask you that this morning because I dreamt of her last night.
So,
been interesting dreams.
There's various levels. I mean, because like the planet itself is carrying a 2-4. It's beauty, but it's conflict. And it's like the planetary being and the planetary consciousness are analogous to our physical being and our soul consciousness. And the more we allow that to integrate in ourselves, the more the planetary consciousness can come through and manifest through the planet itself and clear all this stuff up. But she needs help because we're so separated, and that's, you know, we're like her brain. And until we can fix ourselves, she can't be fixed. Does that make sense? That's why...
It absolutely does, and it's exactly what I've been thinking all day today.
Okay. The order of the rays. There are three major rays and four minor rays. It's not that they're more important, it's just that they're like primary and secondary colors. It's not like saying turquoise is less important than green. You know, it's just a different color. So that's what I'm saying. You've got the major group, and they correspond to the major triad in Muzak. In Muzak? In music. And and in Muzak, which is mostly major triad music. The minor notes, they correspond to the secondary colors and the four secondary rays. So rays 1, 2, and 3 are the rays of power, love, and wisdom, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, mother, soul, collective consciousness of humanity, all of the 1, 2, 3, the first ray, second ray, and third ray. Am I going too fast here? I've done this so much, you know, there's so much information that I've spoken about. And I have one indeed that is on a website called 7rays.info, and you can go there, and a lot of the stuff that I talk about is kind of situated there, and you can listen to me drone on about the different rays and what they all mean. But the first three rays are power and will and focus and primary consciousness, source consciousness. There's a think tank calling. I'd better decline then. Go away. There we go. Stop that. Stop that. There we go. Those are the first three rays, and you could also say that they correspond with red, blue, and green. You know, red being the fire, but it's kind of red on a higher perspective, higher octave somewhere. It's not the low frequency red; it's a very high frequency of red. You know, beyond magenta, ultra red. That's more like it. It's the high C on the piano and all these things. Anyway, that's the first ray, and that's the ray of will, and corresponds with note of C. And then you have the second ray, which is the ray of love, wisdom, consciousness, Buddha consciousness, loving, Christ consciousness, healing, teaching, all this stuff, and nurturing and cooking and nursing and all of those, you know, healing professions, things like that. That's all secondary. The higher forms of religion also secondary, like the learning aspect of them. And then the third ray is the ray of activity, your active intelligence, your computer, your coding, your mental. It's a mental ray. The odd rays are mental, and the even rays are emotional. Ray three is like the ray of business and connectivity, and it is the collective consciousness when it's in the right order, but it can also manifest the evil spirit like a big brother, and you know, the all-seeing eye, and all these three-letter agencies who are all three connected, you know. It's all very obvious and in your face where the three is there. So I hope that that illustrates some of them. I have spoken about it a lot, and we've only 20 minutes to go. All right, okay. So
I have a question.
Have a question.
With these people, like we were talking, like with the changes at Tracy and Trim and all these other people and me that we're making, do you think that this is influencing the things that have been prophesied to happen, to maybe happen in a different way, or to not happen at all? Or do you think the energies now that we have now are influencing what is happening?
There's a lot of things that are influencing our stuff, and we also have these people messing about with time travel, which really, really, you know, it's a real head nip. You know, who's to say that somebody didn't come here in 1947 and go back in time and appear to be here for all time immemorial? What we've been told and what is true are not necessarily the same thing, as we are beginning to find out, and that's where we're going with that. I did go off on a wrong tangent there. Can you say your question again, please, Dolly?
With the people, like in stage one, you say, oh, welcome to stage one. Okay, all right. The stage one peoples, do you think their collective energies are affecting what has been prophesied to happen? Is it affecting it to not happen, to happen in a different way, that kind of thing?
It all depends on them. This is what it's about.
And yeah, who's people, them?
People who are coming through the first and second initiations. And it's part of a choice that they can make or not make. And that's what the initiation's about. Gives you the consciousness that enables you to make the right choice or not, according to your choice. And that's what the choice is, and that's why it's not always a done deal, because people still have to choose. I'm sorry?
I don't mean on a personal level. I mean, like, okay, Y2K, wasn't it Y2K? When we were going through that, do you think if stage one peoples were at the same time Y2K happened, was prophesied to happen, do you think it could have been changed with our collective new energies?
It was. Nobody knows, but it was.
Cool.
So you're right.
That's what I was asking. Thank you, because I've thought that for a long time.
I was there.
you were there?
I was there. I was on British television talking about the Millennium Bug.
Really?
Yeah. Really? We were, what's the word, vilified by the press. They said we were nutters. Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
So here we are, 14 years later, and the world is going to crap. What's, I'm sorry, Dolly.
No, it was Tracy.
Sorry, Trace, go ahead.
You need to panic at the approved moment.
That's just it. I don't panic anymore.
Well, what happened? I'll just briefly lay out the story. My ex-wife, the mother of my child, who I moved up here with, and I, you know, I've been in the industry, you know, the computer industry, and I saw what was going on, and I saw the way it was going with the things, and I could see that things were going to fail, and that there are things that, you know, particularly military things, that don't change over years and years and years, and they keep running the same old things, and they didn't realize that their calendars would run out, and all the date calculations would go wrong, and I realized that, and I was, you know, I mentioned it, you know, I used to talk about stuff the same way as I talk about things like the galactic wave these days, right? I think so. I spoke about this to people, and my my ex-wife and I went to visit one Christmas some friends of hers from her school, and she'd married a guy who became a journalist who went to the Daily Telegraph and the Sunday Telegraph and became the chief science correspondent, and so he's in this position, and you know, I'm talking about Y2K and all this stuff. This is in 98, and he was suitably unimpressed. He was a really kind of hard-nosed, technical kind of guy, very, as I call, fifth ray, very skeptical and all that stuff. So, you know, I learned to expect that from people, and I don't judge them as idiots, and I just think, you know, it's just the way, they'll get it. They'll get it one day. Linear-minded twat. Anyway, no, so I go back, and a few months later, he gives us a call, and it's just coming up towards 1999, and he gives us a call, and he said, I used to think you guys were idiots, but I've just been given a file 3 inches thick on my desk, and I'm beginning to think that you're actually a little more perspicacious, great word, than I had given you credit for, and we'd like to send a team up. And so they sent a team of photographers up, and they took pictures of my ex-wife. She's a handsome woman, and the two kids sitting on the country fence against the golden fields behind. Yeah, some really beautiful photos. This is all due to come out on the Sunday, the day before New Year's Day, 1999. So this, you know, 1 year to go, and suddenly everybody's taking notice. You know, we've got 1 year to go. Oh, now it's right on us. You know, 10 years before, nobody cared. Anyway, so you know, the next day it hit the fan and splattered everywhere. We got phone calls from TV stations. We got phone calls from newspapers. We got phone calls from radio stations, and even up until about 2009. I was still getting phone calls from various press things that still had me in the clippings. Because that's the way journalists work, is that they'll have databases of information. And if there's a subject, just like Google, they'll be able to call up the previous articles that have already been written, or press releases that have already been written with those tags, and they'll, you know, just lift it, copy and paste it. Everybody knows what copy and paste is nowadays, but you know, they've been doing this for years. All right, guys, this is how journalists work. They're very, very lazy, and they'd rather somebody else did all the work. So you send them a press release, and they'll copy and paste it. That's the way it works, and you can hear that on your daily news. Anyway, meanwhile, they are looking for a survivalist couple, and we seem to fit the bill, and so we you know, we've got a few, because of course we'd met the Mormons the year before as well. So, and the Mormon, you know, the Mormons are really into food storage and all this seed, you know, this whole prepping thing. everybody thinks, oh yeah, we're the preppers, we're the good, you know, the Mormons have been doing it for 100 years, over 150 years. They've been waiting for the day of reckoning, which is like next week or something. It was supposed to be last week, wasn't it? Bloody Courtney Brown, he predicted something was happening before the end of February, and he's not got much left. What do you think, Trace?
Yep. Well, you know, when you come out telling the truth, always the first one is laughed at. And then when everyone else catches on, they act like it's their idea.
I know. I don't mean people stealing my ideas. That's fine. They can have them.
I hate it.
I got plenty. I got more ideas to fix things than per square millimeter or something than B&Q. Walmart. What do you call them? I don't know. Home Depot. That's right. Home Depot.
Yeah, you're right. You know, if people, even if they steal the ideas, if they actually put it to use in a place that could work, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
But I have a feeling your place looks like mine. I have 10,000 little things that I've made just sitting here.
Little projects. Actually, this week, I have tidied the heck up, and I've put some shelves in and stacked things up, and it looks orderly now, and there's a big wall of amplifiers and screens, but they're all kind of standing side by side, all kind of neat looking. Everything's neater looking. I've been here a year, so this is what I call madness in my method. I allow things to pile up where they pile up, and things that pile up that are the same, that's the place where they go. You know, it's just simple. So I then make a box or a shelf or a container in that place, and that's where they live. You know, live. That's their roof. So madness in my method. So, that's why I can't see the chat room and why it hasn't changed, because it's been scrolled up and I can't read what people have been saying because it's right up there. There we go. That's right. Hello, everybody. All right, though. So
I have another question, JP.
Go ahead.
When these stage one people become stage one people, will their rays change?
Sometimes. Often. Basically, people who are interested in all that stuff are most likely to be at least first degree initiate, if not above.
At least what?
First degree. This is what we're talking about, first degrees of initiation. Mm. Okay, and the first degree that happens is the sacral and the throat center. So you start to learn to communicate and change your relationships. And that's what I'm saying, that's where you're at. And then beyond that, you have the second initiation, which is the solar plexus and the heart. And they can, more or less be concurrent things. Sometimes one will happen before the other, but often when we're recapitulating them, things might all happen at the same time. But it's just an expression, and it'll be over with. Yeah. What I meant by that, just an expression, it'll be over with. It's like just like something that needs to explodes in a contained place, and then you can let it go and move on. Or you can make a big drama out of it, but then you won't move on. It'll just happen again. So essentially, it's about healing ourselves and allowing our soul to come back into our body. And that's what really being whole is allowing the consciousness that doesn't have much control over the physical body to come into synchronization with the physical being. And that's what we call the process of soul expression. As once that happens, the soul then is locked into the vehicle and it can go driving. It's like the driver hasn't had access to the car. The car's locked it out. Like one of these intelligent houses in Eureka.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, it's a stage, this is quite rare for a lot of people to be initiated all at the same time. This is what's new. And people are popping up all over the place, and they're becoming telepathic, and you'll be drawn to other telepaths. and you'll be drawn to other people that know what's going on, like Wolf Spirit Radio.
I'm looking forward to being drawn to people like here in Venice, not just on the internet, but in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking forward
to. You know, there may be a vortex point that you need to activate and get your crystals going and all the stuff that you know how to do. You may just need to have to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Get off my butt and do it.
Yeah. Don't be waiting for somebody, because you're the somebody that you've been waiting for.
Yeah. Thanks. I needed that kick in the butt.
Good, good. Good, good. Hope it didn't hurt too much. So, my lovelies, I'd like to thank you all for coming on to Ever Beyond. And
thank you for having us on, JP. It's been wonderful.
Taking a slice of today and examining it under the microscope. So, I will wish you very well and get the old outro going. Where's it gone? Where's my cursor gone? I'm cursing my cursor. Right, there we go. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. This has been Ever Beyond. Thank you, Tracy Kennedy. And thank you, Dolly. Good night.
Thank you, JP. That was really good.
It's a great show, sweetie. I'll let you go. I know you have to switch over.
Thank you, Bob. Beyond.